Tvam vaidam sadasa satisha bhavam statonyo.
Tvam vaidam sadasa bhavam statonyo.
Maya yat atma para buddhiriyam ya apartaha.
Maya yat atma para buddhiriyam ya apartaha.
Yadyasya janma nidanam stiti ikshanam cha.
Yadyasya janma nidanam stiti ikshanam cha.
Tadvaitat eva vasukalavat ashtitarvo.
Tadvaitat eva vasukalavat ashtitarvo.
Tvam you. Va either idam the whole universe sada sat consisting of cause and effect. You are the cause and your energy is the effect. Isha, oh my Lord, the supreme controller. Bhavan, yourself. Tata, from the universe. Anya, separately situated. The creation is made by the Lord, yet he remains separate from the creation. Maya, the energy that appears as a separate creation. Yat, of which? Atma Parabuddhi, conception of one's own and another's. Iyam. This. He, indeed. Aparta has no meaning. Everything is your lordship. And therefore there is no hope for understanding. My and your. Yet, the substance from which Yasya, of which, Janma, creation, Nidanam, annihilation, Stiti, maintenance, Ikshanam, manifestation, Cha, and, Tat, that, Va, or, Etat, this, Eva, certainly. Vasukalavat. Like the quality of being the earth. And beyond that, the subtle element of the earth. Smell. Asti Torvo. The seed. The cause. And the true and the tree. The effect of the cause. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion. Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. Purport. Bhagavad Gita 7.10, the Lord says, Bijamam sarabhutanam vidhi partha sanatanam. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences. In the Vedic literature it is said, Ishavasham idam sarvam yato va imani bhutani jayante and sarva kal vidam brahma. All this Vedic information indicates that there is only one God, and that there is nothing else but him. The Mayavadi philosophers explain this in their own way. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead asserts the truth that he is everything and yet is separate from everything. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Everything is one. The Supreme Lord, yet everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference. The example given in this regard, Vasu Kalavad Astit Tarvo, is very easy to understand. Everything exists in time, yet there are many different phases of time factor, present, past, and future. Present, past, and future are one. Every day we can experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening. And although morning is different from noon, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord is separate from the time factor. Everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time, but the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and no end. He is Nitya Shasvata, eternal, permanent. Everything passes through time's phases of present, past, and future, yet the Lord is always the same. Thus, there is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation, but actually, they are not different. Accepting them to be different is called avidya, ignorance. True oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of the Mayavadis. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties in its trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has therefore sung Keshava Tuya Jagat Vichitra. My dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties. The varieties are one and at the same time different. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The conclusion given in the Bhagavad Gita is, and the Brahma Samhita is, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakaranam Karanam. Krishna is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Because the Lord is the supreme cause, everything is one with him. But when we consider varieties, we find that one thing is different from another. We may conclude, therefore, that there is no difference between one thing and another, yet in varieties there are differences. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a tree in fire. Both the trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord is different from time. An advanced devotee consequently does not distinguish between happiness and distress, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipakam. When a devotee is in a condition of so-called distress, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is always thus situated in Krishna consciousness in any condition of life, he is described as mukti pade sadayabhak, perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. The word dayabhak means inheritance. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious, undisturbed by dualities, he is sure that he will return home back to Godhead, just as one inherits the father's property. So the text again. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is the effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, maya, because everything is an emanation from you, and therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is not different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. The question is, how if Krishna is controlling everything and is the source of everything, how is it the living entity has any free will? or how is Livianti responsible for his being put into a certain material circumstance? Most of this canto, especially dealing with Prahlad Maharaj, is an answer to those questions. How the Supreme Lord has unlimited varieties of energies, Parashya Shaktir, Vivadaiva, Shruyate, Swabhaviki, Gyanabala, Kriya Cha, and they're acting as a natural sequence. Eke Damsa, Kala, how the Supreme Lord is in one place. And Eke Desha Sita Gagya, Yata Vishrisi Yata, Parashya Brahmana Shakti Tathayidam Akalam Jagat. How Eka Desha, how Krishna is in one place, Eka Sitera Yagya, Yata Vishrisi, and how at the same time he's spreading his energies everywhere. Parashya Brahmana Shaktis Tateidam Akilam Jagat. So how is that answer? That Krishna can be in one place, yet expand his energies, and the material world has a particular system it works under that Krishna established with his Maya Dakshina, with his material energy. And that system works that Krishna, he causes everything to happen, but he's aloof. As Krishna says, that nichamantani karmani nibandandinda danjaya udasinadvarasinama saktam teshu karmasu. That all this work cannot bind me. Krishna is referring to the creation of so many universes and their annihilation repeatedly. He said, all this work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. And the example is given as of the judge. The judge is neutral, although he's awarding one person a huge amount of money and condemning another person to death. Still, it's not on the basis of the judge's whims or personal feelings or opinion. It's on the basis of he's fulfilling the laws that have been established. So in the material nature, there are laws called karma. And as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that under the factor of time, the three modes of material nature come into play, giving us our karma. Now, as we heard previously, the essential part of our karma is our desiring. Because we're spiritual souls, we have the capacity to desire by our free will. Now, our free will is not unlimited. We're not free to do anything we want. We're restricted by our circumstances. For instance, if by my free will I want to fly around the room, right now I don't know how to do it, and therefore I won't be able to do it. And it's very unlikely I'm going to get some causeless mercy coming from Krishna, however much I pray for the causeless mercy, so I can suddenly fly around the room. Now, we cannot restrict Krishna from giving me causeless mercy so I can fly. See, I'm trying. But he's not giving me my causeless mercy so far. Try again. Okay, no, it didn't work. I can sit here and pray, but Krishna might tell me, forget it. Or I probably realize most things. You know, if I want to lift up Govardhan Hill right now, it doesn't matter how much I pray, Krishna is not going to empower me to lift up Govardhan Hill. Although he has empowered demons to lift up Govardhan Hill, it's not that no one has ever been empowered to lift up Govardhan Hill. In the pastime of Dainukasura, it is said by Acharyas that at one point, Krishna threw Dainukasura against Govardhan Hill and he fell unconscious in that fight that he had with Dainukasura. And when Dainukasura woke up, because he was hit against Govardhan Hill, he picked up Govardhan Hill and he threw it at Krishna. And then Krishna caught it and threw it back at Dainukasura and knocked him out again. So, Krishna has even empowered a demon to lift up Govardhan Hill. But I don't think he has right now any reason to empower any of us to lift up Govardhan Hill. But we maybe desire it, so our desire is limited also to our possibilities, our past karma, and ultimately Krishna's desire. Now, we do have the capacity to desire it, so we can choose one of the three modes of material nature. Now, generally speaking, if one gets a higher taste, one will not choose the lower taste. For instance, right now, even if a desire passed through our minds, which it probably wouldn't, let's all go and spend the 200 euros that the government's giving us for a vacation and go to McDonald's and have a party there. Now, even if the thought came to our minds, we wouldn't take it very seriously. Because we don't have a taste. Now, on the other hand, if we gave our 200 euros, each one of us gave it to someone else in the material world and say, spend it at McDonald's, they'd be very happy to do it because it's completely within their realm of taste and desire. Similarly, if we tell people, please come and chant Hare Krishna, they'll laugh at us, some of them, for right now, because it's not within their realm of desire. Even they hear us, and somehow or another, if the thought passes through their mind, then they'll simply not take it very seriously. They'll laugh. Oh, yeah, right. Hiranyakashipu, when he's doing his austerity with Hiranyaksha to become immortal and defeat the demigods, then Narada Muni and Parvati Muni, in the form of birds, came and disturbed his austerity by constantly chanting in a very loud voice, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So although Hiranyakashipu, he definitely didn't want to hear it, and he kept on throwing rocks at the birds to get rid of them. But finally he went home because his mind was so disturbed, but he couldn't stop thinking of Narayan. So he heard it so much, he couldn't stop thinking about it, but he never became a devotee of Narayan. He never tried to do anything in service of Narayan, except that when he impregnated his wife that night, he kept on hearing Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya within his mind, and therefore the one service he did is he created Prahlad Maharaj, which is a pretty good service. So generally speaking, people, they reject one desires and they accept very readily other desires. So that's our free will. And on that basis, the cosmic creation goes on and the process of liberation goes on also. We can choose higher desires, or we can choose desires that are degrading, or we can choose spiritual desires. Depends upon Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Janganai Karna Guna Sangosya Sar Asadyoni Janmasu. Thus the living entities follow their ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to their association with those modes, and thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. So we can choose our association. If we get happiness in the association of devotees performing devotional service, then we'll continuously choose that association and that service. And if we cease to find happiness in the association of devotees, we cease to find happiness in the service of Krishna or in Krishna consciousness, then naturally we'll go out and look for some other association, looking for happiness somewhere in the material world. Because everyone is driven by the taste, by their taste, they're searching for happiness somewhere. Prabhupada said, actually, we're all searching for Krishna, we don't know that. Therefore, in the association of devotees, there's a possibility of finding it, but even in the association of devotees, one may not actually take their association properly, and therefore actually get in conflict with the devotees and not be able to experience what is Krishna consciousness, although that is the process. As a matter of fact, the innocent people generally have a better opportunity to become Krishna conscious than those who have taken to the process and then rejected it. They're in the category in our spiritual leadership. What do they call that? Situational leadership. They're in the category called shipwreck survivors. They got some taste from Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another, they became deviated. maybe due to some conflicts or some offenses, whatever, and therefore they've lost their taste and they don't participate in Krishna consciousness. They're called shipwreck survivors. They need some encouragement, usually in the form of coaching or counseling, actually. Coaching. They need some help in order to start the process again. It doesn't come spontaneously. They've been covered over by their what they consider to be bad experiences. And therefore, it's probably, quotes here, somewhere in this verse, Te nukampam susamakshamano bunjana evatmikritam vipakam. That, unless one sees things properly, that even the association of the devotees, one will get the wrong experience, the wrong impression. Even if one personally associates with Krishna, like Kamsa, he definitely got the wrong experience, although he had very close association with Krishna when Krishna was killing him. But Kamsa didn't quite understand what was happening because he never read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he offended many devotees, especially Krishna. Therefore, he could not understand things properly. But if we understand things properly, then we'll understand that if anything is good at happening, it's by Krishna's mercy to us, giving us a chance to serve him better. And if there are some negative experiences that we're having, it's due to our own past misdeeds, and Krishna is just giving us a pinprick in order to encourage us to change our mentality and take shelter of him in spite of whatever reactions we're going through. Then one can actually make progress and at the end appreciate Krishna for his mercy and at the same time be able to tolerate any inconveniences and not unnecessarily blame others or even Krishna for the situations we're placed in, but understand that this is all an arrangement for our benefit and for our purification. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj mentioned free will and that we can choose within three modes, but probably it's not equally possible in all three modes. Probably in the Satagun, free will is more exhibited than in the lower Tamasic, or not?
In any mode, when some thought comes to our mind, you know, like go to McDonald's, we can choose it. We want to. No one's stopping us. Thought comes to our mind, go out and make some money. We can do it. Any mode. Now, one is in the mode of ignorance, his free will is limited. Because he's not very likely to get some inspiration, read Srimad Bhagavatam, because he wouldn't know what it was. So the higher one goes in the modes of nature, the more knowledge one has, the more the possibilities open up.
So knowledge is a parameter to properly apply the free will?
Yeah, unless you know what your choices are, and how can you apply fully your free will? And when you come back, when we go back to the spiritual world, then we have full free will. We can serve Krishna any way we desire, but generally one desires to serve Krishna's devotees.
And is free will also connected with the fate? How free will affects the fate? And
we don't really have fate. We have fate if we don't use properly our free will. If we stay in the material world, then we're subjected to fate. If we go past the spiritual world, there's no more fate. But as long as we're in the material world, we're subject to the reactions of our past activities. We call that fate.
Shraddha.
Oh, faith. I thought you said fate.
Yeah, Shraddha.
You mean, Shraddha means wherever you put. Shraddha comes from the word, Sanskrit word, can be broken up in sad and da. Sad means the heart, and da is where we put our heart. So wherever we put our attention, where attention flows, the energy goes. So whatever we're focusing on in our minds, whatever we have faith in, for instance, things pass through our mind, whatever we have faith in, we'll choose that.
So it's connected with free will?
Faith, of course. Because according to our faith, we'll utilize our free will.
Mm.
And if it's only in the modes of material nature, Krishna explains that in the 17th chapter. According to your faith, you're going to do something. And then you'll get the reactions for it. So those in the mode of goodness, they worship the demigods. those in the mode of passion, they worship the the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance, they worship the ghosts and spirits. According to your faith, you're going to act. You'll choose those desires.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Radha Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.